Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Messenger, Watchman, Declare and Contend. I'm going to be sharing with you from the books of Haggai and Zechariah. In Haggai, it will be what is listed as being the second chapter. In Zechariah, what are listed as the first and second chapters. So from what is listed as the second chapter of Haggai, or Haggai, if you prefer. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you, when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priests answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priests answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now let me go briefly to the very beginning of Haggai, the beginning of what is listed as chapter 1. So the first verse, it says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest. The reason for giving that preliminary is this. There is more than one King Darius. And when I share with you from Zechariah, it certainly appears that the Darius referred to in Zechariah is Darius, the king of the Medes, who overthrew the Babylonian Empire. Whereas this Darius is assuredly not Darius, the king of the Medes, but rather Darius the Persian. Why should that be so? It's because here, this prophecy is given to Haggai concerning Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. And there was really no governor of Judah at this time. As far as Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and he could have been viewed as the governor of Judah, though he would have been in captivity, if so, taken into captivity, be in captivity in Babylon, but not be governing in Judah. Judah was not governed as such this way. Jerusalem was destroyed and had not even begun to be rebuilt yet. Not until the pronouncement, the proclamation from Cyrus the Persian. Cyrus the Persian came after Darius the Mede. So, again, as far as I can tell, this is Darius the Persian who comes after Cyrus the Persian. Back to the beginning of what is listed as being the second chapter. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Who is there that saw this house? This is being spoken as if they are in Jerusalem. Cyrus the Persian had given the commandment that he was given from God to rebuild Jerusalem. And he sent forth Jews, Hebrews, who were in captivity in his kingdom at the beginning of his reign. He sent them back, those who were willing to go, sent them back to Jerusalem to rebuild Jerusalem. And what is being said here is, as you will see, they are in the process of rebuilding it, but it is very dismal and very disheartening. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? So they can see it now, even though it's been completely torn down, destroyed, and burned. How can they see it? Because they're attempting to rebuild it. Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Instead of that magnificent temple of Solomon's construction, following the blueprint from God, using the materials gathered together by David from the people of Israel and from Tyrus, the king of Tyrus, and so forth. Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. They are in the Holy Land. They are working on constructing the temple anew. So this is, again, following the commandment of Cyrus the Persian. So this Darius has to be Darius the Persian. But be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And they are a small remnant, and they are surrounded by enemies, violent enemies. And even though it is wrong to make an analogy here of the Alamo, because this area, of course, is vastly, vastly, vastly bigger than the tiny Alamo in Texas, still there is some similarity that there is the surrounding armies of enemies. And here are these people, these Jews, following the command of the Lord, seeking to rebuild the temple, which causes these enemies to be in an absolute rage, who are intent on keeping the people of God, the Hebrews, enslaved and debased, or abased, if you will. But be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. The people of the land, this is not these neighboring tribes of people that are enemies of God. These are the Hebrews. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, according to the covenant that I made with you when I brought you out of Egypt. Now, none of these people were brought out of Egypt, but their forefathers were. According to the word that I covenanted with you, with your great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers, with your grandfathers and grandmothers, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. You're surrounded by enemies who are intent on not only preventing you from building this temple, but on destroying you. My spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. even as he says in Revelation, that he shall shake the heaven and the earth. There shall be an earthquake greater than any earthquake that there has ever been. All of the cities of the nations shall fall, among other things. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. I will shake all nations, all governments, all regimes, but they shall all be part of a single worldwide regime bent on the destruction of God and his people. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Since when does every nation have the same desire? Well, all of the nations will be under the boot of Satan's worldwide regime. So they will be at his steps. They will be following his commands. However, in every nation, in every tribe, in every kindred, among every people, there shall be people of faith whose desire shall be that the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, return and rule and reign. And the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh no, the silver and gold, that belongs to people, and that belongs to companies, and that belongs to governments and countries. Really. God is the creator of all silver and gold. Would that he would see fit to entrust some to me that I might use. But he is the creator of all riches. And it is abomination to take his riches and to use it to construct idols. Dumb idols, mute idols, false gods, demigods. To worship in the place of God Almighty. The glory of this latter house that is in ruins, and which you're trying to piece it together here, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. Even though it is rubble, even though it's been burned through and through, even though your efforts, your labors are while your enemies are seeking to destroy you, to murder you, and you're not making very good headway, very slow going indeed, still, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. Why is that? Because the Lord of glory will be there. The Lord Jesus will be there. And this latter house will be transformed. And instead of the blood of bulls and goats and rams and lambs and doves, shall be the glory of God. In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priests answered and said, no, Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priests answered and said, it shall be unclean. Sure, they know the law after a fashion, and they can recite it back, but it's not in their hearts. And they are completely oblivious and blind to the fact that they are not merely ceremonially unclean, but they are thoroughly unclean before God. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. They are unclean through and through. You are unclean through and through. And what you are offering, offerings that you're making to me, are unclean through and through and unacceptable. But going back, again it says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Peace is something that Jerusalem really hasn't known. It has known war. It has known sieges. It has known domination and enslavement and destruction and obliteration. But peace really hasn't known peace. But it shall. And now I pray you consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. From this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone. So they have not even reconstructed foundation. But there's more to it than that. Since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands because of their sins. Because of their uncleanness before God, because of their rebellion against God, because of their disobedience towards God, because of their willful rebellion against God. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now, from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Consider it. So this day, we may believe they are in the process, or they are about to attempt to lay the foundation of the Lord. It is entirely fitting and proper that God would time it this way, that they would lay the cornerstones, they would lay the foundation on the day that the Lord Jesus Christ shall be born in time to come. Wait a minute. They didn't say anything about December 25th. No. Just the 24th day of the 9th month. And roughly speaking, April is approximately the first month. Okay, the calendars are all a mess, all of them. Jewish, Gregorian, you name it. The Hebrew and the Gregorian and all the others are a mess. None of them are accurate. Believe what you will, none of them are accurate. The beginning of the year is in the spring, not in the heart of winter. It is in the spring. The first month of the year, when Passover was, is in the beginning of the year. April is approximately, again, depending on what you're looking at for a calendar, approximately the first month of the year. First month. So May is second, June is third, July is fourth, August is fifth. I think I'm off. September is 6th. October is 7th. November is 8th. December is 9th. Okay. December is 9th. But again, it's approximately December. All right? It's not like you can just go and, you know, lay one over the other and say, oh, yes, it's exactly the same days and exactly the same time, because God's calendar is not man's calendar. God's year is 360 days, not 365, except in leap year. You know, there are differences, but the 24th day of the ninth month aligns with Christmas Eve. Accept it or reject it or, you know, file it away or whatever. It just happens to be true. The foundation of the Lord's temple is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was born on the 24th day of the ninth month. And the rebuilding of the temple, perchance they got that right and they began reconstructing the foundation on that day. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth from this day. The 24th day of the ninth month will I bless you. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the ninth month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. I pity the horses. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. This prophecy was from God by his angel or by the Holy Ghost to Haggai the prophet to give unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest. Interestingly enough, both of these names, both Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the governor and the high priest, they are both used to refer to Jesus Christ, depending on which book of the Bible we're looking at, which book of the Old Testament we're in. But here it refers to him as Zerubbabel. Now with Zechariah, with what is listed as being the first chapter, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, but before I go further, No, I'll read through it first and then comment, as usual. The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which would be March-ish, February. Again, they don't align exactly, but closest I can get is February, but it can bleed into March a little bit. The 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were there red horses speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees, if you prefer, answered and said, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head, but these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. And beginning now with what is listed as being the second chapter, I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Beginning again now with what is listed as being the first chapter of Zechariah. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. Now, this Darius, this needs to be Darius the Mede. Why is that? Well, further on in this portion of Scripture, which is listed as being the first chapter, we have, Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? If we were already up to Darius the Persian, and there were Hebrews back in Jerusalem, in the Holy Land, trying to reconstruct the temple, that wouldn't make sense because that is beyond this point of time. But this makes all the sense in the world if this is Darius, if this is during the time of Darius the Mede, immediately before the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel the prophet, of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, Belteshazzar, they were in Babylon, in the Babylonian kingdom, in captivity, but thanks to their faithfulness, their courage, their sacrifice, they were in very exalted position of power, miraculously so. Daniel is still alive and serving God when Cyrus the Persian takes over. He is still alive and serving God when Cyrus the Persian gives the proclamation, the pronouncement, the commandment for those children of Israel who have the heart to do it, for them to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple,
Daniel doesn't go, but Daniel
is at the end of his pilgrimage. The last words we have from Daniel in the book of Daniel are seemingly during the third year of Cyrus the Persian. But again, this matter of the 70 years of captivity, this holds true, as best I can see, during the reign of Darius the Mede, but not during Darius the Persian, because he comes after Cyrus the Persian. And again, these people are already back in Jerusalem, Israel. The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Indeed. Therefore, say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. How many times have you heard some rebellious teenager come out with the lines that they have learned, that they have been carefully taught by some public school educators, or private school, prep school, what have you, or friends who have been corrupted and what have you, that respect has to be earned, and they will lay down the law to their parents, you know. They don't need to respect their elders. They don't need to respect their parents. Their respect needs to be earned. They're not going to respect their parents or obey their parents or honor their parents until their parents earn the respect of these lofty, oh-so-wise young people. It's very common. And for all I know, it undoubtedly occurs among grade school children, but definitely getting into ages such as 12, 13, 14, and on. Very common. Diametrically contrary to God's will and God's ways. And God Almighty here says, turn ye unto me, and I will turn unto you. Not, I will turn unto you, you important people, and then hopefully you will turn back to me. No, it doesn't work that way. That's not God's way. That is corrupt, sinful, blind, foolish people's way. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, but to no avail. Right? Cry as they might, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. More than that, they not only didn't turn unto God, they not only didn't hearken unto God, they not only didn't obey God, but they tortured and slaughtered the prophets more often than not. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. So some of these fathers admitted before they died that God had dealt with them according to their evil doings. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month. Again, this is this is about the end of what we call February and about the beginning of what we call March. But upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. These are referred to in the portion of Scripture which is listed as being the sixth chapter of the book of Zechariah. But those who walked to and fro are described as being bay. The red horses, who are listed as being in the first chariot, they disappear. So here we have red horses. Whether that means chestnut red or deeper red, something, I don't know. But there's a man riding upon a red horse, and behind him were additional red horses, speckled and white, a little on the order of Appaloosa or paint horses. And they've been commanded to walk to and fro through the earth. These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered. They, who is they? We've heard of one horseman and heard about these horses. So are the horses answering? I don't know. It is possible. It is possible. With God, it definitely is. But and they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth. And behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Which this reminds me of the scripture where it says that those that went into the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country, which again is in the portion of scripture listed as being chapter 6 in this book of Zechariah. But that was the black horse and the white horse that went into the north country. And they've quieted my spirit. So here it says, All the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? But wait a minute. This is seemingly taking place before the preceding book of Haggai. Again, do not get locked into some sort of chronological view as it being excessive, because this, you will find yourself tripped up time and again. If you want to stick with that, well, this book is first, or this chapter is first. You'll find that in the book of Daniel. You'll find it many other places. So just don't be too clingy about the sequence of these things. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased with the people of Israel, and they helped forward the affliction. Now, God Almighty should have been a whole lot more than a little displeased with the people of Israel that were doing monstrous evils, committing monstrous, abominable idolatry, and committing myriad monstrous, hellish evils. God should have been more than a little displeased. And what he brought upon Israel indicates that he was more than a little displeased. But the wording here is, I was but a little displeased, and they, the surrounding peoples, helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. When God brings judgment, yes, he can bring judgment in various different forms. Pestilence, diseases, plagues, epidemics, pandemics. That's one form, which is usually referred to as death. That's the shorthand for it. Noisome beasts, extremely dangerous predators, carnivores that slaughter people. But you might consider them garden variety. You know, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And wolves and what have you. And famine, drought, dehydration, famine, starvation. And finally, the sword, warfare. And that can include violent crime and so forth, but normally is referring to war. When he brings war, he brings it from surrounding tribes and peoples, or those who are far away. Whether they be near or far, it's God's doing. So when he says they helped forward the affliction, yes, but he used them to do so. But therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns, And I said unto the angel that talked with me, What be these? And he answered me, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. The divided kingdom of Judah and Israel, and the capital of Jerusalem, the holy city, Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, What come these to do? And he spake, saying, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. All manner of experts would have us believe that Jerusalem, in this day and age, Jerusalem is a holy city for three great religions. For Jewry, which denies, refuses, resists, rejects God the Son, and in so doing rejects God the Father. Islam, which worships Satan, who goes by the name of Allah, one of his many pseudonyms, and Christianity. There is much in the way of Christianity around the world that is far from pleasing to God. That being said, Jerusalem is the great city of the Lord. However, there has been great wickedness and violence there down through millennia. But the new Jerusalem, the Jerusalem of the millennial reign of Christ, followed by the Jerusalem that shall take its place when this earth and heaven passes away, those Jerusalems, there will only be room for the worship of the Lord God Almighty and his holy Son Jesus. But God Almighty here in this prophecy is saying that he is going to cast out the enemies of God. He shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. This really, truly has not taken place yet. Really hasn't. You could say, well, after a fashion it did. It was rebuilt, after all, and the temple was rebuilt, but this has not been fulfilled. It shall be fulfilled during the millennial reign of Christ. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Well, as I mentioned with regard to Nineveh, that the fact that there were beasts there was not necessarily indicative that it was a wasteland. Because here we have Jerusalem, and it shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. Understanding that sheep and goats and what have you are also referred to as cattle here. But as was the case with Jacob in Syria. But God Almighty says that he will be unto her, unto Jerusalem, a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. I think it's questionable as to whether that has been fulfilled yet. It shall, but whether it has. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, from Babylon, from the Babylonian Empire. Saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven. Yes, he spread others into the Assyrian kingdom and so forth. I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. Yes. And so God commands Cyrus the Persian to send these people out of captivity to Israel, to Jerusalem, to Judah, as many as will. But Cyrus does not compel them to go. They can choose to go. And God Almighty here is saying to them to do so. He says for them to flee from the land of the north, from Babylon. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. Don't just stay there. Okay? Yes. I gave commandment that you should dwell and multiply. Marry and multiply and raise your children because the captivity was long. So he spake by Jeremiah, which true prophecy was, of course, denied and refuted by false prophets. But now the time is at hand for them to return. So don't delay, don't tarry, don't stay behind in Babylon, but come. But again, Daniel is at the end of his life. He's at the end of his pilgrimage, and he continues to serve God there right up to the end. He continues to give us light concerning what shall be, albeit my understanding of what God spoke to him is certainly less perfect than Daniel's understanding of it was. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. Many non-Hebrews, right? Many Gentiles. Many non-Hebrews. And then we hear about, oh, they're anti-Semitic, and yet Semitic applies to Arab peoples as well. And usually, more often than not, attacks against Jews have been by Islamists, Arabs, and what have you. So the anti-Semitic nonsense doesn't make sense. It's a lie. But anti-Jewish, yes. There is that. But God Almighty, he's going to draw people from every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every race, every ethnicity on the face of his earth to himself. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. He will count among his people, people from every people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee, hath sent Jesus. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. So God Almighty shall choose Jerusalem again. Well, again, we have this prophecy for then, and we have this prophecy for now. God Almighty shall choose Jerusalem yet again. Even though at this point in time, to such a great extent, it is an offense to God. But be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. What does that mean? When God rises up from his throne out of heaven, beware. Beware. Very great chance that judgment is at hand. And so it is. It is very near. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Master Savior, open our eyes, open the eyes of our understanding. Cause us to understand thy word insofar as thou art willing for us to. Lead us and guide us and direct us. Watch over us. Touch us, bless us, use us by thy Spirit for thy glory. Have thy way, Lord. Have thine own way. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who lives, who reigns, who's seated at thy right hand until his enemies be made his footstool, and then he has come again in glory, soon and very soon. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.